Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another week and a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 is the number to jump on in. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Folks, this is going to be an interesting show today right out of the gate. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there's some times where I'll take a red-eye flight, or I'll take an early morning flight after a Super Bowl, after a national championship game. And there's just certain adrenaline that you have that you just power through and you muscle through. And maybe you were in a sober state of thought for most of the time where you were at a game, where you walk in the studio, you do a 3-hour show, and it's easy peasy to get through a day of work when you have a Super Bowl to react to. Off no sleep, or you have a national championship game to react to off no sleep. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was on, I guess you could say, vacation. I don't really consider a bachelor party vacation, because then you get back from the bachelor party and you need a vacation. But I was in Las Vegas Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I landed this morning in Newark, New Jersey. Thank God, by the way. Because I thought I was going to be stuck in Las Vegas for another day or two, and that would have been a problem, even though I had the funds to make it through, because it was a very good winning week for your boy out in Las Vegas. We'll get to more of that later. But no delays in the airport. I did think for a second there was going to be an issue, Stu, because when I'm back in the airport, there was like a group of 4 or 5 guys behind me, and none of them were actually from America. They all had passports. They were very rowdy. I've never seen this. The plane got delayed 8 minutes when we did take off today, which 8 minutes, considering what I thought it was going to be with the 2-hour and 30-minute delay that I had getting to Vegas on Thursday, which was just a mess with the airports. But that's par for the course these days when you travel all across the USA. It's just delay after delay after delay after delay for the last 3-4 years. But I was on like a little bit of a good luck streak for about 4 or 5 times where I didn't have any delays after just getting slaughtered the last few years and having to cancel trips left and right because it's a nightmare to fly sometimes. But anyway, I'm in the airport and there's a ramp supervisor in Las Vegas. Now, I've never seen that. Like, for example, when I flew from New York to Des Moines, to then go from Des Moines to Lincoln, Nebraska on a trip. When I was in the Des Moines airport, not a rowdy place if we're going to be honest, I didn't see anyone that was supervising people. But you go to Vegas where you're monitoring people, and, you know, people go to Vegas, they have a little bit to drink, they do some other stuff as well, and it's like party USA, here we go. The ramp supervisor lady, and this was awesome to watch because I'm just looking, she's walking up to the people at the gate, they're like, this guy's not going to be able to fly. And I go, oh, I think they have an idea what's going. And then I heard the ramp supervisor lady said, the guy got up and fell on his way to the bathroom. So they went up to him and said, sir, there's a 10:30 flight. You're not going to be on this 10:30 flight. There's one that takes off at like midnight or something, or 11:30. They go, we'll see if you could sober up in an hour. And they didn't let him on the plane. And no, the person I was talking about was not Stuart Kovac. Stu was not in Las Vegas. But I couldn't believe that. I have a few other stories I'll get to later on in the show, but we got a whole lot to do. And by the way, what an epic sports weekend. Now, I have no clue what I'm going to say into the microphone today. I hope this isn't one of those shows where, because I'm on no sleep, by the way, that we get on out of here at 6 p.m. and then at 6:10, I get a call from management. Oh, you said something. You know, if today's ever going to be a day, and I don't think I'll get suspended, but if today is ever going to be a day that Zach Gelb gets suspended for saying something on the radio, today could be the day, because I am on no sleep, coming off a bachelor party for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I did one of the dumbest things ever. I took the red eye back on Sunday. Now, I thought I was being a loyal friend, Stu. You know, it was a group of 18 of us, and then after Saturday into Sunday, it turned down to 16, but most people went home on Sunday, like earlier in the day, middle of the day. My core group of friends that were on this bachelor party said, oh, let's take the red eye. It was like 7 or 8 more of them. So I said, all right, even though I could have changed my flight and got out yesterday at 1 in the afternoon or 11:30 a.m., I said, I'm going to stick through and pull through with the squad. And if I'm going to be honest, today I'm regretting it. Because I don't know, and this can be just me bitching to bitch, but the red eye flight, when you have to do something the next day, is a horrible idea. It really is. One of my friends said, oh, I'll just land, jump on call for a second, working from home, and then going to sleep. I don't got that luxury. I got to sit here in front of a camera. That's why I'm wearing a hat today, because I don't want to comb my hair. And, you know, I found a way to put on a shirt and pants that match. So away we go. So we'll do a little radio program today, and it should be a fun one. But trying to sleep on that plane on that red eye on a full flight back was just not a good idea. Now, I was able to wake up miraculously when they had the ginger ale, I had to get a ginger ale on the plane, and they had one of those waffles, you know, Stroop waffle or something like that?
Stroop waffle, yes.
Yeah, those are absolutely delicious. But I slept for the majority of the flight, or I think I slept for the majority of the flight. You never know. But when I landed in Newark this morning and then had to sit in an hour Uber with traffic after traffic after traffic, when it usually just takes 25 minutes to get back to my apartment. Your boy's struggling a little bit today. Did win the Derby, though. Little sovereignty. Nice bet last second. 9-1. Cha-ching. Played a little roulette yesterday. May have won $500 at roulette. So it was a winning weekend. Most of the time you go on these trips to Vegas and you just lose. It was a winning weekend for your boy. There's one story that I'll tell later that, you know, like when you're hanging out with your friends and something happens and you think it's the funniest thing in the world, and then you tell it to other people, maybe they don't think it's funny. Well, something happened in Las Vegas. This will be a tease for later that I'll get to at some point in the show that I thought was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I'm going to run it past Stu. I'm going to run it past Samter. And I'm going to get your thoughts on this later on in the show, because I think it's a new way that everyone should live when you're in public and you see someone in front of you potentially ruining your meal that isn't associated with your meal, but they're in a fight from a table over and they're standing in front of your table fighting. I have a new thing that my friend created in the moment, impromptu, that we executed at that table to get the situation to die down for the couple that was fighting and get them the F away from us. So this is going to be fun coming up later in the show, and I'll see what Stu and Samter think about that, right? It is Sue and Stamter working today. Yes, okay. Just making sure. All righty. Let's get to this. The Golden State Warriors. What an epic weekend of sports, by the way. I got to Vegas on Thursday. Sully picked me up from the airport. We were watching the Vegas Golden Knights game. We also watched the Knicks with Jalen Brunson just end the Detroit Pistons season. But then you had that Game 7 yesterday where St. Louis looked like they were going to find a way to take down the President's Trophy winners and the Winnipeg Jets under 2 minutes to go. And it's a two-goal game in favor of St. Louis. And with 1.6 seconds left, you had the St. Louis Blues blow the game in regulation. It goes to overtime, and they couldn't get the job done in double overtime, and Winnipeg survives. You also had a lot of great basketball. James Harden didn't show up once again in a big series, and the Denver Nuggets did advance, which I think is good for the NBA because Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. But yesterday, there was a lot of intrigue around the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets are in that spot where they're young. They also have a lot of draft capital. So you're wondering, how far could this team take it this year? And I thought Golden State was going to win this opening series because I don't really care about the play-in tournament nonsense. The postseason starts where you get, you know, the 1-8 matchups to 2-7s and so on and so on. But in this one, Golden State was cruising. They're up 3-1 in the series. And then they drop game 5. All right, so it's 3-2. They're on their home court. They can't close it out in game 6. And then you get to game 7. This was a big potential moment for the Houston Rockets, which, if you've been following basketball for the last 15 years, I know the teams have changed, like the players on the team, but when you look at this Golden State Warriors core, they have just absolutely abused the Houston Rockets. It actually led to one of the most moments in sports that I can't stand the most. When Daryl Morey, when he was running the Rockets after they lost another series to the Golden State Warriors, were like, oh, well, we have the most wins in games and series, even though that we lost compared to any other team in the NBA. Now, Daryl Morey's no longer there. Kevin Durant is obviously no longer there with the Golden State Warriors. James Harden's obviously no longer there with the Houston Rockets. Chris Paul is obviously no longer there with the Houston Rockets. But there's just certain teams that it doesn't matter what players come and go, they just always find a way to rip the heart out of the other team. And that's what the Golden State Warriors did once again. You go from being up 3-1 in the series to the momentum shifting in 5 and 6. You're going back to Houston for game 7. And let's be real. Steph Curry showed you why he's one of the greatest players of all time, where he has 14 fourth quarter points, and he's clearly not 100% with that hand injury that he has. And then you also got to see Buddy Hield just have a ridiculous night. And you never know, night in or night out, who gets hot from three. Like, look at the Knicks-Pistons game 1. Who had campaign taken over that game before it started? Now, I know Buddy Hield is a heck of a basketball player, but did I walk into yesterday thinking Buddy Hield was going to have 33 points and he was going to tie a Game 7 record for the most made three-pointers in a Game 7 with 9? I thought Golden State was going to win yesterday for a multitude of reasons, but how they won was very impressive. And the biggest reason why I knew Golden State was going to win yesterday, and we have a Hickey Hex coming up later on in the show, is because Hickey said there was no shot the Warriors were going to win Game 7. And he was trashing Steph. He was trashing Buddy Hield. I wasn't even really on social media much this weekend, like on Twitter. Instagram, I was on a bunch. And I got a lot of tweets yesterday because I guess now Hickey, because he's working for Bill Ryder, and he's the new executive producer for Bill Ryder show since D-Cell left, I guess Hickey's no longer doing Hick at Night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And now he's doing Sundays from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern. So he was on before the game yesterday. And Hickey's sitting there. And I guess the whole four-hour show he was doing was, oh, why the Golden State Warriors are going to lose. So I may have made one last bet in Vegas after just dominating the roulette tables. And that was, okay, let me go play some money on the Golden State Warriors to win the game up against the Houston Rockets. So what a wonderful moment for the Warriors. I don't think this is a team that's going to win a championship this year. I don't. But you look at the Western Conference in the NBA, does it get much better than this? Where you look and you see Denver, and Denver with Nikola Jokic is just unbelievable. The multiple-time MVP award winner, an NBA champion, an NBA Finals MVP. And now they go up against who I think is the best team in the Western Conference. I would say the second best team in the NBA because I'm still going to give the edge to the Boston Celtics. But now you get Denver up against Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander up against Nikola Jokic, and then also in the West, Now you get the Minnesota Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards going up against the old guard and Draymond Green. I should say Steph Curry first, and Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Think about that. Now, I know that the Timberwolves went on a little bit of a run last year where they got to the Western Conference Finals and everyone thought they were going to the NBA Finals before losing to the Dallas Mavericks. But that's just so fun when you get a player like Nikola Jokic, who's the best player in the league, and he's going up against this young team in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we know how established Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, but nationally, he's still looking for that big postseason moment. So you have those two Titans going up against one another. And then in the other part of the West bracket, you get the Minnesota Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards, who has already arrived, and I think he's the future face of the league. But you got to win a championship, and you got to get to an NBA Finals. And he's now going up against the Golden State Warriors, who have been an enormous player in NBA history for the last decade or so with their championships that they've won before Kevin Durant, during Kevin Durant, and then after Kevin Durant. So hats off to Golden State. They got the job done, and now all eyes are on the Houston Rockets, where it's going to be, okay, you have all these picks this offseason. Are you going to be able to get a Giannis Antetokounmpo? I know Milwaukee's going to say we're not making him available. Does Giannis Antetokounmpo force a trade? And if you can't get Giannis, we all know who Kevin Durant has a very close relationship with, and that's Ime Udoka, who is the head basketball coach of the Houston Rockets. So what a fun weekend of sports. Somehow I'm still up. We'll see if I'll be like another radio host that falls asleep on the air today. Who knows? I was thinking about wearing sunglasses today. I really was, but then I said, I don't want to look like a douche on the air. So we got a whole lot to get to today. We'll take your phone calls as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we come on back, we'll take a look at the Eastern Conference for the NBA postseason. This is Zach Gelb Show, off and running on a very tired Monday right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You have the Knicks up against the Celtics tonight. Also, Denver up against OKC. All game ones there. And then coming up tomorrow, the Indiana Pacers are up 1-0 up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see if the Cavs could tie up that series. The Cavs are dealing with a bunch of injuries. Jared Greenberger does a great job, NBA on TNT. He tweeted out, Kenny Atkinson expressed real concern for the availability of Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter for tomorrow's game two. Mobley's dealing with an ankle, and Hunter is dealing with a dislocated shooting thumb. And I think Garland is going to come back. That was at least the vibe that Jared was given yesterday. But there are some injuries obviously piling up for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now they're down 1-0 in this series. And then you get Golden State and Minnesota coming up tomorrow evening as well for game one after the Golden State Warriors were able to pull off the victory yesterday up against the Houston Rockets, where Golden State was up 3-1 in that series. Then they lost games 5 and 6 before walking into Houston and getting that victory in a game 7. Hey, Stu, just wondering. In the Western Conference, you have Denver and Oklahoma City. You have Golden State and Minnesota. Not who you think is going to get there, but who do you want to get there? If you could just create the matchup and say, that's the one I want to watch the most, what would you say that matchup is?
I would say for sure Oklahoma City. I just think it's their time. It's their time. I want to see the young team and what they can do and if they're ready for the moment. I would say probably the Warriors, just because it's Steph and kind of like that maybe last run at something. So I think the old against the young would be kind of intriguing for me.
I think I would want to see Denver and Golden State, if I'm being honest, where you get Nikola Jokic going up against Steph Curry. Nikola Jokic, the best player in the league right now. Steph Curry, one of the best players of all time. But if, let's just say, I could give myself two matchups, and maybe this is just weird here, I would want to see Denver up against Golden State, established up against established, and like we said, Golden State potentially on their last runner at it or two. But if I can't get Denver and Golden State, like I wouldn't want one or the other. That's what I either want, Denver up against Golden State, or I'd rather just see the other two teams in Oklahoma City up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because then it's more new against new. Even though we had the Timberwolves go on a little bit of a run last year and got to the Western Conference Finals, there's still a long ways to go. But it's more so Nikola Jokic up against Steph Curry or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander up against Anthony Edwards. Because when it really looks at the future face of the league, I think there's two people in this NBA postseason that have the ability to go claim that throne for face of the league. Like Nikola Jokic, he's the best player in the league, but we don't really hear a lot from Nikola Jokic. Now, Jason Tatum, he doesn't have a great personality. But if you go winning back-to-back championships, and remember, he didn't win a finals MVP last year. That was Jaylen Brown. And you get the finals MVP this time around, you could then start to make your case for the face of the league. But I think most people right now, if you say, who's going to be the face of the league in a few years from now in the NBA, they would say it's Ant-Man and Anthony Edwards. Those, to me, are the two guys that have a chance to really capture the face of the league kind of title in this postseason. And, Stu, I wonder if you could throw Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in there. Because this is a guy that's, you know, MVP, probably going to win the MVP this year. But he's a heck of a player. It's weird to say that he's underrated because everyone would view him right now as a top five player in the league. But nationally, I still feel like there's not that cachet around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think you and I respect what he does. And I think most people know, oh, he's a great player. But if I'm saying face of the league conversation, I think most people are going to say Anthony Edwards and not even consider Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, if you go through that next, you know, face of the NBA, you know, you're going to have Jokic, you're going to have Giannis, even though those two guys are already established. I think some people might even say Luka over him. Some people might say Anthony Edwards over him, like you said.
You have a lot of quiet, great players.
Yes.
Like Nikola Jokic is a great player, an all-time great. He's quiet in terms of personality. Same could be said for Jason Tatum, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, same thing. At least you see the Oklahoma City Thunder do those fun interviews together as a team. But it's not really a, oh, look at me type of moment. And Anthony Edwards, he probably has not the best game, but the most explosive game with some of those thunderous dunks. But his personality is an A-type personality. Where when you look at it, Nikola Jokic, kind of a bore in terms of personality. Player, love watching him. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, a really nice guy. But it's not like he has the greatest personality in the world. I did like when he ordered the 50-piece Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets after he won the NBA championship and dropped 50 points in that game. So there's a lot of guys in the NBA right now that are unbelievable players, and their play speaks for themselves, but the face of the league is a different thing. That's great player, great personality, and I don't know if Jason Tatum has that great personality. I don't think he does, but when you play in Boston and you get a big market like that, I do think you could work yourself into the face of the league. But right now, Stu, it does feel when Anthony Edwards gets to an NBA Finals or if he could win an NBA championship, that will be the take when it's already starting to be that way where people are saying, oh, he's the next face of the league. Where if you go back to what I think it was the All-Star game where he goes, yeah, I don't even want to be the face of the league. That's not something that I would want to be, but I don't know if he's going to have a choice, honestly, with how many quiet stars there are now in the NBA.
Yeah, he might not. And like you said, if he gets to the conference finals last year and then gets to a finals this year, forget it. It's going to be hard to not consider him that at that point.
Especially in a place like Minnesota, where you've had great players. Kevin Garnett growing up was one of my favorite players. He was unbelievable, won an MVP, but you knew he was never winning squat there in Minnesota. You know he was never winning an NBA championship with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that's why he waited and waited and waited all those years, and he tried to give them the benefit of the doubt. But ultimately, when you get a team forming together of Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett, you're going to find your way going to Boston. Look what that did for the career. Just in terms of, we always knew KG was a great player. You know, for example, as a kid growing up in New York, a lot of people, remember those jersey bags that you would have? Where it was the drawstring bags, and there would be a jersey on the bag. Carmelo Anthony was always popular. LeBron was always popular. And even before that, Kevin Garnett, I had a Carmelo Anthony jersey bag, which was 15 with the Nuggets. And then I had a 21 KG, jersey bag with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because I loved KG, the big ticket, growing up as a kid. And I'm not usually someone that gets players' gear if they're not on my team. Bizarrely enough, I had a Hornets Chris Paul jersey. I don't know why. I had a Michael Jordan old school Bulls jersey at the time. I guess I could say it's old school. And I had a Chad Ochocinco jersey. And then I had the jersey bags of KG and Carmelo. And I think that was it. Like some of my friends, they have a jersey for like every player on every team. But I wasn't a huge, if they're not one of my guys on my team getting that gear. But I just loved watching Kevin Garnett. And Anthony Edwards, right, in Minnesota, has done a heck of a job early on in his career. Now, getting back to the Eastern Conference, how concerned are you, Stu, with the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because I went into the series, I said Cleveland's going to win in seven, but I think the Pacers are going to be one tough out, and I think they're going to be one royal pain in the ass. And to be up big yesterday, then blow it, and still find a way to win the game, and Cleveland now has, and we don't know the status of all these guys, we could read you the reports, but who knows in the NBA? Here, guys aren't going to play, then they do play, then guys are definitely going to play, and they don't play. But this is a Cavs team, once again, new coach, still doesn't matter, and I love Kenny Atkinson, but this team, I feel like, is always hurt in the postseason, and here you are once again with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Pacers, remember last year, too, they benefited off the Knicks being the walking wounded, but this is another go-around at it where, okay, we know Cleveland is the better team, but are they going to be healthy enough going up against a team in Indiana that is so disrespected and Tyrese Halliburton, you know, just tell his father to stay away, which I guess now they're doing and they're not letting him go to any of these games. But Tyrese Halliburton is so underrated, even though people called him the most overrated player in the league. So where's the level of concern with the Cleveland Cavaliers after game one?
Scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's like a 7.5.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
High.
I think this is going to be, at the very least, a long series, and I think the Pacers could win it. I just think Halliburton's that good of a player, and you combine that with some of the injuries the Cavs have gotten, plus not having the playoff experience, I'd be a little concerned.
I would say I'm at a 4.5 level of concern. And I was talking with a buddy of mine yesterday. I'm like, I love Indiana, right? Like, I loved Indiana in game one, and I said, this is going to be a tough series, tougher than what people think, but I would still lean Cleveland in seven. I would say 4.5. So, like, 4.5 would be the level of concern. I'm not going to press the panic button unless they go down 0-2. You drop two games at home at Cleveland with all these injuries piling up, then that's a different level of conversation. Knicks and Celtics, game one tonight. Do you give the Knicks any chance to win this series, though?
I would like to give the Knicks a chance to win the series, but I just think the Celtics team is too good for them.
I think the Knicks, the three biggest players to watch in this series, the three biggest people. Like, I'm not going to say Jalen Brunson because Brunson, to me, he's just a walking 30-point guy. He in the postseason, this guy just walks out of bed. He could be like me. No sleep, actually. Taking a red eye back from Vegas, not going to bed, walking right to work, and he would still be able to show up and give you 30 points and look like it was nothing. Seriously. He's unbelievable. So I'm not going to say Brunson, but the three biggest people to watch in this series, if the Knicks are going to win, Tom Thibodeau, and we all know that's a huge part of the conversation. And I think Tibbs will be back next year, but if they go out quickly to the Celtics, that conversation will pop back up. I'm then also going to say Mikal Bridges. Now, he started to come alive in that closeout game a little bit, but he's got to give them more offensively. He can't just be a stud defensively. But offensively, when you trade up five first-round picks for someone, you got to ball out and you got to be clutch. And then Karl Anthony Towns. You know, I think Karl Anthony Towns at times is disrespected. I think he's a really good player. But even in Minnesota, he caught a lot of heat. There are some games, though, where Karl Anthony Towns, he is Superman. He really is. You know, that game that the Knicks won in Detroit, I think it was game three. It was either game three or game four. And he was just making some shots at the end of the game where I was like, how the heck did he make those? And he was unbelievable. But then there's games where it's, he had 10 points. He looks a little lackadaisical. The energy level doesn't look that high. But those are the three biggest points of conversation for me. What is the coach going to do? Can Mikal Bridges give you more on the offensive end? And can Cat just be dominant? Because you know Jalen Brunson's getting his. If Cat could complement Jalen Brunson, you have the two of them working together, my oh my, that's going to be something special. I think it was game four where Cat had that craziness at the end with Jalen Brunson. But I'm going to say the Celtics win that series. I think the Celtics are the best team in the league. And if you tell me right now, well, who do you want to see in the NBA Finals? I know I just said how I started this segment. I would like to see Denver and Golden State, right, in the Western Conference Finals. But if you give me just an NBA Finals matchup, I would say probably Boston up against Oklahoma City. I think it would be so much fun. And I wouldn't be annoyed. Honestly, if you look at the West, if you tell me Denver gets there, Oklahoma City gets there, Golden State gets there, Minnesota gets there, I'm fine with seeing any of those four teams in the NBA Finals. But you look at the Eastern Conference, even though I would personally like to see the Knicks win, but if I separate fandom and then my job as a talk show host and a national talk show host storylines, you give me Boston up against Golden State, love it. You give me Boston up against Minnesota, love it. You give me Boston up against Denver, love it. You give me Boston up against Oklahoma City, love it. The other three teams, I don't know where the national appeal is. I think Cleveland is tremendous. I love Kenny Atkinson. I don't know what the national appeal is of the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though they've been one of, if not the best teams in the NBA this year. The Indiana Pacers, I don't think there's national appeal. New York, there's national appeal because New York is polarizing. You either love New York or you hate New York. And we know that there's a lot of good names on the New York Knicks. But I think it's easy that in the East, Boston, you think, will get there. In the West, I still think it's going to be OKC. And that would make a tremendous NBA Finals, Boston and OKC. But if you tell me OKC can't get there and Boston can, than any of the other three teams in the Western Conference, I'm more than good going up against the Boston Celtics. Golden State history with them meeting up the NBA Finals a few years ago. Minnesota, you get Anthony Edwards going into Boston. That would be fun. And then Nikola Jokic, the best player in the league, going up against what I think is the best team in the league in the Boston Celtics. That'd be pretty damn cool. All righty, we'll take a time out. This is Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, it's time to ask the pros. For you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people. At O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Draymond Green. Winning again in Houston come the NBA postseason. They were up 3-1 in that series, then lost games 5 and 6. But with the series on the line in game 7, the Golden State Warriors make the Houston Rockets once again pay. Here is Draymond.
It's always fun winning in the city and winning in this arena. So Fred had made a comment earlier. The series said this ain't that team. It's that organization, though. And we like coming to this city and playing in these situations. It's been good to us.
So we go from Draymond Green to Jimmy Butler. You know, I didn't even think about this yet, but you get the Warriors up against the Timberwolves. We know that Jimmy Butler, right, had that whole situation in Minnesota. But with Thibodeau no longer being there, with Kat no longer being there as well, is that really that big of a deal to me? Sure, I'm sure that the Minnesota fans will boo Jimmy Butler, but I don't think it has the same ammunition if some of the old faces were still there. But this is Jimmy Butler on his biggest concern about facing the Timberwolves.
Honestly, I got to like midnight to enjoy this win, so that's what I'm going to do. And then I'll focus on Minnesota come after midnight. But I'm worried about how I'm going to get my coffee machine to Minnesota and how I'm going to get my kids there.
His coffee machine? Does he have like some crazy luxurious coffee machine, Santa?
I don't know, but how hard is it to get your kids somewhere? There's things called an airplane.
And Jimmy Butler also has a minivan. He's a big minivan guy, he says.
Yeah, so like, I mean, buy a new coffee machine. You're worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some history there because Jimmy Butler is one of the most interesting athletes I've ever covered. I remember when he got to Philadelphia, he said two things about me. I listened to country music, and he looked at me, he goes, I bet you didn't expect that one, and also, I have a minivan. Bet you didn't expect that one either. I was not expecting Jimmy Butler to be a minivan guy and a country guy as well. Let's go to Buddy Hield. He had 33 points, had 9 three-pointers. That ties a Game 7 record. Buddy Hield on his hot night shooting.
Being in the zone is very spiritual. You know, it's just you and that rim and the net and the ball, and you just freaking it out. And sometimes you put anything up and just goes in. But just being at peace with your game.
And obviously, it's easy to be at peace with your game if you play the way that he did in a game seven. Let's go to Tyrese Haliburton. The Pacers, they did their job so far up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Even if they drop game two, you will split the first two games. You'll take that in a second. Tyrese Haliburton on winning game one up against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, it gives us a lot of momentum for sure, and you can definitely feel good about it, you know, for the night. But this is the best team in our conference. They play very hard. They don't lose a ton, you know, so they're going to respond. And so we got to be prepared for that going into game two. But I thought we did a great job of weathering the storm when, you know, that Cavalanche was on its way. And I thought we did a great job of weathering that. And, once that happened, you know, I felt confident in our group. But I love the way we started the game. I loved our energy from start to finish. And, it's a really good win for us.
Yeah, you don't want to get too high off of one game. And also, I love the term Cavalanche. That's a great job. I don't know if that's something they've been saying with the Cavaliers all year, if that's just Tyrese Haliburton who ended up saying that. Let's go to Rob Gronkowski. He was on Dudes on Dudes podcast with Julian Edelman. I think that's a podcast he does with Julian Edelman. So I'm going to ask a quick question before we play this audio. Are you one of those like guys, Stu, when a player's jersey is retired, you freak out if a player wants to wear or requests to wear a retired jersey? Just wondering.
I wouldn't say I freak out, but I think if the number's retired, it should stay retired.
So he's off limits.
I would say so.
You think it's like even like a little rude maybe to even ask for it?
Yeah, the number's retired for a reason. It should stay retired.
Samter, do you care when a player says, oh, like Abdul Card, I want to wear LT's number? And LT says no. Does that annoy you? Or are you one of those guys that yells at the old guard and be like, oh, it's disrespectful for LT not to give the number to Abdul Card. Who cares? It's just a number.
I'm more with Stu in the line of it should stay retired, but I think there's also a fine line. A guy like LT, an all-time great, probably the best defensive player ever, stay retired. Phil Simms, love him to death. That number can be unretired.
Well, I'm sorry. You can't. I don't think you could just pick and choose there. The number's either retired or not. Like it could be sacred to the franchise. And he may not be one of the all-time great players, but he's an all-time great New York Giant. Here's my take. If you want to ask, I don't care if you want to ask. But people then slamming a Lawrence Taylor for Phil Simms or his family for saying no, that's their right. The number's retired for a reason. So I don't really care either way, but I don't think there should be any vitriol for Abdul Carter asking or for Phil Simms or even Lawrence Taylor for saying no. But Rob Gronkowski, the Gronker, he went off on Abdul Carter for requesting LT's number.
Was he serious? Was he serious asking for LT's number? Yeah, you're a high draft pick, but LT is an absolute legend. The best to do it. One of the best defenders of all time. Like, you got to prove yourself. That's crazy just asking for LT's number. And I'm glad that LT shut him down like that.
What would Bill said to the kid if he asked for 56.
No, yeah, no, buddy. Yeah, there's one LT, and you're not LT. You're not even close to being LT. So how about you just get the f*** out of my office and get in your playbook, because you haven't done yet. And now you get number 62 for just being an asshole.
Gronk, give me a call. We'll have you work in the Belichick impersonation, but The way that Bill would say it, not the sound of it, but just the material in there, spot on by Rob Gronkowski. Warren Moon on with Up and Adams with Kay Adams of what Shador Sanders needs to do now.
There's a whole different mindset when you play corner compared to playing quarterback. You can't act like a cornerback when you're playing quarterback. Quarterback's a humble position. Mm-hmm. You got to be respectful. You got to be a leader. You're the face of the franchise. There's so much more responsibility that comes along with it. That's what he has to understand.
Yeah. Like, I understand maybe the sideshow needs to be cut out a little bit, because now you are a fifth-round pick, even though he's not what you would usually look at and view a fifth-round pick of being. I like when a quarterback is confident. I like when he could be a little brash, but the problem is you can't have it impact your work ethic or your job. And for the pre-draft process, he basically did a terrible job in the pre-draft interviews. So learn from that. Still have that moxie. Still have that confidence. but put it into action on the football field. And Shedeur Sanders has done that for most of his life. That's why it was disappointing how he handled the pre-draft process. The Rich Eisen Show had on Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh had a dream about Justin Herbert. Is that right? Go ahead.
Woke up the other day and said, got to get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame. Must get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame.
You woke up and said that?
Yeah. It's just one of those things where you wake up and kind of like 3:30, 4 in the morning.
Right.
Sometimes that's when your best ideas come.
Yeah, I know.
And,
yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah, you know, you kind of process that, and that would mean winning a couple Super Bowls, and it'd be a lot of people would benefit, you know, from that. So that's a worthy goal.
I thought it was going to be crazier. I thought he was going to have some like crazy dream about Justin Herbert or something, and there was going to be some big story there. How about you start with one Super Bowl? How about a playoff game? Can they win a playoff game first? And then before we start talking about Hall of Fame and all that stuff, I love Harbaugh, but come on, what are we doing right now? Let's go to the play-by-play. This was Paul Edmonds on the Jets Radio Network. Let's hear the way that the Jets tied this up. Remember, they were trailing 3-1, Game 7, series on the line, the President's Trophy winner. No President's Trophy winner has won the Stanley Cup since the Blackhawks last did it in 2013. Still a long ways to go. They got to get 12 more victories. But with that being said, you're down 3-1. You get a goal. I think it was like 155, 156 left to make it 3-2. And then with 1.6 seconds left, the game ended up getting tied.
Velarde back in behind the net. Velarde back for the line. Ehlers moves in, shoots, and he fanned on that. Got it back again. Far side, quick shot. Deflected in front. They score! Cole Perfetti with a deflection. 1.6 seconds left. In the third period, the Jets have tied it up at 3. Holy smokes!
Oh, we got a holy smokes! Oh, they got a holy smokes in there. I didn't even know that. Holy smokes to the holy smokes. If you know, you know. Now, when this game did go to overtime, I go, the Jets are easily winning. But then when you got through one overtime, I go, uh-oh, maybe momentum is shifting towards the St. Louis Blues, and they'll find a way to, after blowing the game, do the improbable comeback from them originally choking. But in the second overtime, Adam Lowry called game. Once again, let's hear Paul Edmonds, the Jets Radio Network.
Lowry with the puck again. Back toward the line. Pion up top. Fleury winds up. Pass at the side of the net for Kyle Connor. Darts around. Connor back toward the line. Pion. Pion walks the line. Wristed through traffic. He scores! Deflected in front by the captain, Adam Lowry. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! In double overtime tonight!
That's awesome. I love radio hockey. I do. Just hearing the calls and the guys on the radio just scream and go nuts. I know that they're out of it, but the Tampa Bay guy, he's a psycho. Mishkin, he's awesome. Finally, let's hear Larry Columbus, NBC Sports. Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby and won Zach Gelb some good money at 9-1.
Journalism and sovereignty, nose to nose, down to the last 16th of a mile. Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the good side. Baez is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby. The final time was 202.31 seconds.
So I wasn't going to bet the Kentucky Derby, but then I was in Vegas and I saw the scene in the sports book at the Cosmopolitan for BetMGM. And I go, I got to place money. My friend was at the Derby, and he said, Sovereignty, bet it. So I bet him outright, you know, Sovereignty, and ended up winning 9-1. So it was a nice little payday walking out of that sports book, which was pretty cool, which was better the last time I was in Vegas, and I bet the Kentucky Derby. And at the time, we were CBS Sports Radio, and I had the long shot. This was back in 2019. When it was, I think the horse got disqualified, and then the other horse won. And our company at the time, CBS Sports, they uploaded the wrong post numbers, and I was looking at the website, and the horse that I wanted to bet on, it was a wrong post number. So that was a mess up from our company. That was the first time I ever placed money on a horse, and I thought I won a lot of money, and I didn't. So it was redemption in Las Vegas for your boy Zach Gelb with Sovereignty at 9-1. All righty, we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll do a little onside, offside. It is a Zach Gelb show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.